Chaim Yid L'chaim.
Lemaisa.
For an unofficial for Brang, it's not so bad. So
big
Hashem should bless you, shalom si nachas and simcha and bracha mam shashef adli dai ors and kayla nachas molekiz. Kids. Shvil to for bring with b'shir tzikim. Okay, so it's like this. L'maisa, very soon we're going to be zaycha to hear a siyum. I heard before there was a siyum on Maseches Megillah, but now I just heard a few minutes ago that it's a siyum on Maseches Megillah Yerushalmi. That's really not so pasha. So really, I have to figure out a way how everything I'm going to say now is a hachana for a siyum on Yerushalmi. So it's like this, you know, the challenge accepted. So it's like this. So who is the Amora that put together Yerushalmi? You know, for the Bavli, it was Ravina Ravashi, more sense. But the editor in chief, the one that put together Talmud Yerushalmi, is Rabbi Yochanan. So every siyum of Maseches Yerushalmi is really a Heskashus to Rabbi Yochanan. That's what it is. So put that to the side to Mekashu Yerushalmi to Rabbi Yochanan. I just like this, you know, when it comes to Yom Tov Purim, people wear disguises. So who a person is, you don't necessarily see. They put on another persona, a costume, in order to give off the impression of that there's someone else. So there's layers to people on Purim. But the truth is that not only do people wear costumes, not only are there multiple personas of people on Purim, if you think about it, we see this in Halacha, that even the Megillah itself, like the actual Chefza, like the book, the scroll of Megillah Esther, also like has costumes to it. What do I mean? All right, so, you know, the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, this is in the Bavli, it's probably Yerushalmi too, but in the Bavli it says that the Gemara makes a point that in the Megillah itself, the Megillah describes itself with multiple names. The Megillah calls itself a Sefer, and it also calls itself an Igeres, a letter. And the Gemara makes a point that when you describe something as a sefer in Tanakh, the word sefer means like a sefer Torah. That's what it means. And that comes with halachas of a sefer Torah. When you call something in Igeres, a letter, that means that it's just something that you read to get, you know, the message, but it doesn't have the status of like a sefer Torah, you know, something like that. And so the Gemara goes back and forth figuring this out. It's called a sefer, it's called an Igeres, and the Gemara tries to put that puzzle together. Like, what is it exactly? So, Lemaisa, when all the dust settles of the sugya, there is a chiddush or a hagdara from the Ramban. The Ramban in Chushim, Maseches Megillah, so he deals with this issue. Like, what is Megillah Esther exactly? A sefer, a igeres? So the Ramban has a chiddush. The Ritva in Maseches Megillah quotes a yisoid from the Ramban. And the Ramban says the following thing. That's how the Ritva sort of translates it. He says as follows. Read just a couple lines from it. He says like this. Vayomer Mayer Rabbeinu Neirus. So he quotes from the Ramban. That here's an akuda. I'll tell you out so they don't see it inside together. He says as follows. He says that there are different layers to the Megillah itself. There's what the Megillah is within itself, for itself, by itself. Like when the Megillah is like by itself in a room, without anyone looking at it, without anyone knowing, it's just looking itself in the mirror. How would the Megillah define itself? Says the Ramban, the Megillah defined itself as a sefer. But then there is the Megillah as it's seen by other people, as it's read, as it's related to by the outside world. And then the Megillah has a different definition called an Igeres. And the Ramban explains as follows. This is how the Ramban puts it. D'bedvarim shebegufa. And this is how the Ramban arranges the halach lamaisa. He says, those inyanim that are related to the actual sefer within itself, not in terms of how to read it, and not in terms of how to relate to it, just the sefer by itself, d'varim shebegufa. So he says, that then it's defined as a sefer. And because it's called din asok sefer, it's called a sefer, and therefore it has to have the klaf has to be a klaf that's good for a Sefer Torah. The ink has to be an ink that's good for a Sefer Torah. The letters have to be written, because I have a shur, it's like a Sefer Torah. It has to have sirtut, the Gemara says. You know, like a Sefer Torah, it has like lines and then framing of the letters and so on. It has to have sirtut like a Sefer Torah. Everything that's related to just the Sefer, the Megillah Esther by itself. Forget about other people, just the Sefer itself, it's called a Sefer. But then says the Ramban, Avul b'dover shu chutz l'gufa. But then, in terms of how this scroll is related to by the outside, by other people engaging in the Megillah, says the Ramban, asol ki igeres. It has the lach of an igeres. And therefore says the Ramban, so for example, the halach is, the Ramban is a chiddush, he says, uvufichach, because of this idea, so l'kreisa b'nayim ben yoshev, says the Mishnah in Maseches Megillah, to read them, the Balkar that reads the Megillah stands. But says the Mishnah, that's really just because of Kavod Tzibur. You don't have to stand up when you read the Megillah. So for example, let's say a person's reading the Megillah just, for an individual person, for your wife or whatever the case may be. You don't have to stand. Says the Ramban, why don't you have to stand? The Sefer Torah you have to stand for. The answer is, Megillah is called a Sefer just by itself. In terms of how you engage with it, in terms of reading it, then the Megillah's Esther is called an Igaris. And an Igaris you can sit. Says the Ramban further, Lefichach Nogu, therefore the minig is, he says, obviously this was the minig by the Svardim, is Lekroisa Bleep Pisak Tamim, Lebulay Hefsek Apsukim, not to be so makbid with the truck, and not to be so makbid to finish the pasuk in the right spot. Like, okay, you read the Megillah. Says the Ramban, why are we not so makbid with the truck like we are with the Sefer Torah? The answer is, in terms of how you're reading it, in terms of how you engage with it, it's not called a Sefer, it's called an Igeres. And a letter is a letter, you read the letter, whatever, you get the point across. You don't have to be so mocked with every single kinesh, every single truck. So what the Ramban is telling us is an unbelievable chiddush, which is that what is the Megillah Esther? Like, what is that scroll? The answer is, it has multiple identities. There is an identity to the scroll when it's just within itself. The Etzem Mahus of Megillah Esther is called a Sefer. But then there's what the scroll is in terms of how it engages to the outside. And then the definition of the Megillah is that it's an Igar. So not only do people wear costumes, not only on Purim do we somehow celebrate even and recognize that there's multiple layers to people. There's who the person is, and then there's the costume, the persona, the identity of the person that he's sort of sending out to the world. The Megillah's Esther itself has this quality of that there was what the Megillah is within itself, and what the Megillah is vis-a-vis the outside. What's the penimius of this? So it's like this, the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, this is actually Machlokes Bavli Yishlami, but according to the Bavli, this is how the conversation went. The Talmidim asked Rishim Bar Yochai, why is it that the Jewish people at that time deserved such a heavy decree of Haman? Like, what was the big, what affair did they do? So the Gemara says that, it's interesting, Rishim Bar Yochai says to the Talmidim, you tell me. So I do that when I don't have an answer right away, so I'm buying myself time. Rishon Baruch Hu definitely had an answer, so that's a question why he did that. But Rishon Baruch Hu says to Talmidim, you tell me. So Talmidim said, right, because they ate from the Suda of Achashverosh. They went to the Suda. So that says Rishon Baruch Hu, but that would only be for the city of Shushan. All Kli Yisrael is destroyed because of that. Okay. So it happens to be the Rishalmi, right? The Rishalmi attack gives that as an answer. That's the Maskana. Just in parentheses, the study of the Rishalmi is much more pneumistic than the Bavli. By the Yishalmi, every Yid is Klal Yis Knesset Yisrael. One Kehila is Mamash Klal Yisrael. So the fact that Shushan, the Yid of Shushan, had such an Aveir, that's Bechinas Klal, that's an Aveir of Klal, on a Klal Yisrael proportion. But anyways, the Bavli is not satisfied with that. So Rishon Mechai then gives an answer that the reason why they deserve the Gzer of Haman is because years earlier, Klal Yisrael, all of them, bowed down to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar erected. So then says the Talmidim to Rishon Mechai, well, in that case, then why were they saved? They bowed down to an idol, to a statue, whatever. So says Rishon Mechai back, Heim like Asu El Lepanim. They only did it superficially, they didn't really mean it. When they bowed down, they did it because they had to. They didn't do it, they didn't really mean it. So the Mela says, Rishon Mechai, therefore the Gezer of Haman was also in Elulafon. It was only also superficial. Now here's the amazing thing. I mean, that quote-unquote superficial fake Gezer of Haman doesn't seem so fake. I mean, the Gemara talks about how Mordechai, when he heard about the Gezerah, he investigated in Shemayim. He was a Navi. The Gemara says that he investigated in Shemayim whether this Gezerah should be taken seriously or not. And he was told this is a very serious Gezerah. The only thing he was Elionov, he told him that there's a Pesach, you could be Masakin, there's room for Tikkun over here, but Lamais, it was a very serious Gezerah. Which means that when Rishon Vayechai said that the Avera was of bowing down to the statue was superficial, and the Gezerah was superficial, it means that superficiality of the Gezerah didn't feel so superficial to the Jewish people then, and it wasn't so superficial in Shammai. But what? But it wasn't the Emes Lamitai. It wasn't the Emes Benes. Which means the Avera of bowing down to the statue, also when we say it was superficial, it was Bemis. They meant to bow down to it. It just wasn't Emes Lamitai. In other words, what comes out on Purim is this unbelievable... The salvation of Purim emerges from this truth, which is that there is who you are, and you are defined based on what you do. And what a person does, and the definition of who you are based on what you do, is real. That's significant. And what the Jewish people did was bow down to that statue. And as a result of that, a gezerah that was real and significant was decreed, which is a gezerah of Haman. But the site of Purim is that there is a definition of who you are based on what you do, but there's also a deeper persona unrelated to what you do, just the etzem. And usually that atzmius, that mohus, that fundamental essence of who you are, is always in the background and hidden, but it doesn't, we don't engage in it. There's no expression of it. The only persona that we know, that we experience, that we deal with, is who you are based on how you define yourself in terms of what you do. But the Chiddush of Purim, the Yeshua of Purim, came from the Rabban Shalom sort of ignoring the outer persona of who you are based on what you do, and focusing exclusively on the inner persona of who you are unrelated to what you do. So therefore, the whole inyan of the Gezerah came from that Aver, which is upon him, it was only superficial. There was a Mahus that was not bowing down to the statue for Avodah Zarah. And because of that, that inner, deepest truth was contained in the Gezerah itself, that the Pnimi Pnimius, the Emes Lamita, there was no Gezerah. And this manifests itself in Halacha. That even the Megillas Esther, which is a celebration obviously we talk about the Nes itself. The Megillas Esther expresses this. That there's what the Megillah is in terms of how it's used and how it relates to the outside, but then there's what it is on the inside. It's a sefer on the inside and a nigaris on the outside. But the truth is it's more than that. It goes deeper than this. Because the truth is when the story of Purim happened, it wasn't only the Pshat that the Gezerah of Haman was abolished, and it was Kilu, it wasn't there, because it was only, the whole thing was only superficial, the Aver was only superficial. But it turns out in Hapechu, it wasn't only that the Gezerah was Batel, it turns out in Hapechu, that somehow the decree, which was a result of the Avera, actually turned out for the positive. The Jewish people ended up better than they started. So even on the one hand, we're still slaves of Achashverosh and so on, but Lamaisa, Lidomaisa Ayra, Visimcha, Visasim, Vikar, Lamaisa, we're better than we ended off. Which means that the real secret of Purim is deeper than just we'll ignore the external persona to just focus on the inner persona. It's deeper than that. The real Aymek of Purim is that although what might look like on the outside is a persona that bowed down to a statue for Avodah Zarah, and it might look like on the outside as a Yid that eats by the Suda of Achashverosh, and it might look like on the outside as a person who's mamish falling into low places. We're not just ignoring that and saying, okay, we're going to just, disregard that identity and only focus on the inner identity. What we're going to say is that outer identity, even though it doesn't make sense to the naked eye, in Pnimius, is really an expression of the inner identity. And what might look like on the outside as Navera, in Pnimius is Mole Kedusha. Because it has to be. There is the concept of Purim is not to say that there were like, that there's like a split personality, that there's who you are on the inside, who are you on the outside. And the Chiddush of Purim is we ignore the outer and we just focus on the inner. And the answer is no. There's still one person. Which means that the deepest identity of who you are on the inside is, at the end of the day, the driving force behind everything that you do. So even if on the outside it might seem as if what the person did was something terrible, was something that took the person away from the Ribbono Shel Olam, since the deepest identity of who you are is a chelek alakami mal mamish, then not only are we going to ignore the outer identity for the inner identity, but the inner identity of the chelek alakami mal mamish is defining for us the real motivation behind everything you did. And it's like the Ishmael writes in Parshas Bereishis, he says a lashon over there, he says, Kol chete Yisrael, every sin that the Jewish people or a Jewish person has ever committed, it can be compared to just eating unripened fruit. It's just eating fruit unripened. In other words, why does a Jew sin? The sight of Purim is that since on the inside who we are, is what is the chelek of kamim al mamish, it means that ultimately that's the only motivation a Jew ever has, which is to experience elikos. The problem why a Jew sins is because ultimately, everything in this world is, when Mashiach comes, going to be revealed as part of God's world. It just happens to be right now, there are certain parts of the world which are ripened, and you can eat those fruits and it's delicious. Those are in Yanim of Mitzvahs and Kedusha. And then there are parts of the world where the Elokus within it is unripened yet. And so because it's unripened, when you eat it, it hurts your stomach and it's not good for your digestive system. But the reason why you're eating it is for a good reason. You want it because you're hungry. You want to have something delicious and something nutritious. You just don't know that this is unhealthy for you right now. So the secret of Purim is not only that there's an inner identity versus an outer identity. The secret is that that inner identity is truly the deeper motivation behind everything a person does, which therefore means that the Avera itself is something that the Ribbono Shel Olam has nachas over. You have to say that carefully. It's not that the motivation behind the sin is in fact a schus. It's in fact coming from a good place. It's coming from a neshama that wants to just quench its thirst to find a lekus. Happens to be nebuch, it doesn't realize that what it's drinking is not going to quench its thirst. It's going to make it more thirsty. But it's coming from a healthy, it's coming from a good place. This is the site of Purim. Now we see this also in halach. Why? So I started off by saying that the Megillas Esther has two personalities, right? There's what the Sefer is within itself, with the Megillas Esther in itself, which is called the Sefer, and then there's what the Megillas Esther is in terms of its outside relationship with the reader. That's called the Nigeres. But the Ramban says another Chiddush. The Ramban says that there's a middle level. There's what the Sefer is, what the Megillas Esther is within itself in terms of the ink, the parchment, the ksav, and so on. That's pure Sefer. There's what the Megillas Esther is in terms of how to read it, in terms of being machpat on the trap, in terms of having to sit or stand. That's pure Igeres. But says the Ramban, but there's a middle Madrega where it's both Sefer and Igeres, which is how to stitch the Megillah. The halacha is, by a Sefer Torah, the stitching has to be made of Gidin, has to be made of sinews. If you use any other material, it's possible. And the halacha is, for a Sefer Torah, you have to have a lot of stitching. You look at a Sefer Torah, like the whole, when you between one cloth and the other, the whole thing is stitched up. The halacha is, says the Ramban, when it comes to Megillas Esther, it's somewhere in between. On the one hand, the stitching has to be like a Sefer that has to be made of sinews. But the stitching is like an Igeres, that all you need are just three stitches, and you don't have to make the whole thing deeply connected, tight. Says the Ramban, because this is the Chiddush of Megillas Esther. It's actually three levels. There's what it is, mamash, on the inside, Sefer. There's what it is on the outside, Igeres. And then there's the middle, bridging the two, which is called a Sefer Igeres. The sight of this is that Megillas Esther is revealing this truth, that not only is there an inner identity, but that inner identity is really deeply attached to the outer identity as well. There's a bridge between them. That inner identity of Sefer makes its way to the surface. And the way it makes its way to the surface is having this middle layer, which is called transition, a transitional madrega of Sefer Igeres, to Igeres. Indicating that the deepest identity of the Megillas Esther is somehow connected, and it's not disconnected from the outer identity. Because this is the site of Megillas Esther, which is that everything that a Jew does on the outside, because there's an inner identity, it means that everything you do on the outside is defined by that. Not only, we don't just ignore it, but that inner identity of Sefer travels to the surface. It has a way of connecting to the surface. It's not just disjointed. It starts off as Sefer, and that Sefer then bubbles a little bit more to Sefer Igeris, and then it bubbles even more to just being an Igeris. It's one stream of Chelek of the Kami Ma'amamish. It's one stream of Pnimius. What does this have to do with Rabbi Yochanan? Remember that? So the Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says it's a famous thing that when Rish Lakish originally started off as not the Amora as we know Rish Lakish, he started off as a bandit, whatever. So the Gemara says famously, and I said that when Rabbi Yochanan was bathing in the Yarden, and Rish Lakish saw him from a distance and mistook him for a woman, and had a stick, whatever, and he leaped over Mamish to attack Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan's reaction was Chelech L'Raisa. Your strength, the way it's simply translated, Chelech L'Raisa means that strength that you just had to jump over to attack me, she used that for Yiddishkeit. But the deeper definition of Chelech L'Raisa is that not just that you should use that strength for Torah. When Rabbi Yochanan says that use your strength for Torah, that already is an amazing thing. Because Rabbi Yochanan means that he's seen beyond the identity of Rish Lakish in terms of his actions. It's who's Rish Lakish is in terms of his actions. Who is that? A Russian. But Rabbi Yochanan sees beyond that. Rabbi Yochanan sees that there is a inner identity of who Rish Lakish is, and that inner identity is a tzaddik, is a chelik of the kamiyam amamish. But more than that, Rabbi Yochanan not only says that there's an inner identity that I'm ignoring the outer one and focusing on the inner one. I'm saying that every decision that you're doing, even now, is l'raisa. Chelik l'raisa is not a tefillah, not a hope. He's saying the truth. He's saying the reality is chelik l'raisa. That your strength is being used for Torah. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan then goes on to say to Rish Lakish that if you go to Yeshiva, I'll give you my sister as a wife. Such a thing. Because Rabbi Yochanan saw Rish Lakish for who he is right now. But right, look at the end of their lives. The Gemara says, it's a tragic story. The Gemara says, Amaisa, that the last machlek is between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. The Mishnah, there's based on a Mishnah, the Mishnah talks about, the halacha is when it comes to the halachas of Tum and Tahara, so you have to know when a vessel is officially done. Because once a vessel is finished being made, so then it's susceptible to Tumah. But if it's not finished yet, then it's not susceptible to Tumah. So the Mishnah talks about there's machlokes or Rabbi Yochanan, what about swords and knives, like weaponry? When is a weapon finished? So Rabbi Yochanan said a certain point, the sword is done. And Rish Lakish said, it's a different point. So Rabbi Yochanan turned to Rish Lakish and he said, oh, you see, the professional knows his inyan. That's what he said. So the Gemara says that Rish Lakish was offended by that. It means you're bringing up old baggage. And the Gemara goes in a whole story, a tragic story because of that. But what does Rabbi Yochanan mean? What is he saying? What he's saying is that's mamish the sight of what Rabbi Yochanan was always saying to Rish Lakish of Chelech L'Raisa, is that everything that you were doing then, it was a sugya. It's not the pshat that there was that persona, that identity of the murderer, of the ganef, as like, I'm bringing that back. It never went away, because that's what you were always doing the whole time was chelik l'raisa. So the fact that now I'm saying to you that your havana in weaponry is connected to your old identity, yeah. Because I'm not bringing back old baggage and old laundry, I'm dirty laundry. I'm saying is that everything that you were doing even then was being motivated by the Torah that was within you. That's the site of Rish Lakish. That's the site of Rabbi Yochanan. So the whole ending of what we're talking about, Megillah, of the whole Megillah Esther, and the whole site of Purim, which is not just to celebrate the fact that we have an identity that's never damaged by sin, but that more than that, that all of our sins are coming from the motivation that's coming from that deeper identity. That's the site of Rabbi Yochanan. That's the site of Talmud Yushalmi. Yushalmi versus Bavli. Yushalmi is always associated with redemption versus Bavli is always Golas. Mashaka Meshivani is a Talmud Bavli. Yushalmi is Lichter. Yushalmi is Ar. Yushalmi, the light of Yushalmi is that it sees all the all the weaponry of Rish Lakish for his old life is really just an expression of Rish Lakish working out sukkahs and halachas of weaponry. That's all Rish Lakish was ever doing. That's the site of Yushami, that's the site of Purim. So Hashem should bless us. Not only to see ourselves, but to see other Yidden. Not just to believe in the Pintle Yid and stuff like that, but it's more than that. Like the Ishmael says, the Pintle Yid, the Nakuta Pinimus of who a Yid is the motivation behind everything the Jew does, even when he's making the wrong decisions. It's coming from that, it's coming from the thirst and the Tzimoyin of that Pintle Yid, wanting to experience a Likus. It's just the Yid doesn't know where to find a Likus. But that's the motivation itself. And Mimela then, the Aveira itself, the wrong mistakes itself, could be a schus for the person. Mamish Yisrael, Ad Kedei Kach, that the Aveira of being of by the Suda V'chulu is the cause for the Gezerah, but ultimately it turns out to be for our own benefit. That Esther Malka is established in that Suda V'chulu V'chulu, and we end up because of the Aveira of Vishtachu L'Tzalem, we use my Seir of Vesimcha V'Sasim Yikar King Tilanu, V'Yiskol Tzedek, Meir V'Meinu, Amen.